Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
Alive to Thrive, that was Sarah Bareilles singing Brave, and I love the words to that song. Not only does it tie into our guest today, but it's just such an empowerment song. It's good to listen to it and look in the mirror and say those words out loud to yourself, and never play life small. Welcome to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser. We air every Friday at 12 noon Central, and we have all kinds of interesting guests, authors, entertainers, filmmakers, and people that are changing the world. And our guest today is someone I met originally through Zonta International. I've spoken about Zonta in the past, Zonta.org, international organization empowering, uplifting, and advancing the status of women worldwide. And my guest, Mary Shackelford, was in the Jefferson City Club down in Jefferson City, Missouri. And we met through social media, so you never know who you're going to meet through Facebook and through social media. Welcome to the show, Mary. How are you today?
Thank you so much. I am really wonderful, and I'm so excited to be on your show. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. I am excited, and it's just perfect timing with I just read your chapter that you wrote in the book, Menopause Mavens, the subtitle, Master the Mystery of Menopause. And, you know, there's so much we have to talk about this book and about you and your background. And I want to thank you for calling in. I think you're in Denver this weekend. Is that correct?
I am. I'm here in Denver. The
conference you're attending.
Yeah, I have a mentor that I just study with, and her name is Dr. Sue Morter, M-O-R-T-E-R, and she's based out of Indianapolis, but she travels the world, and is really, she's just an amazing person who is really bringing the conversation of consciousness and living whole and living in joy and really getting to choose how we experience this amazing, magnificent human experience and really connecting us to our divinity, our soul within this human body and this human experience. And so this is one of the conferences or retreat kind of that she has. And so I'm here and it's snowing. It's so beautiful. And
oh,
I haven't had any snow in St. Louis yet. So this is kind of fun because I don't have to drive anywhere. So,
I think we're getting our first snow this weekend.
Else.
But as you know, I used to live in Denver and I love it. And it's just a beautiful place. And no matter when it snows, the sky's blue, the sun's out, and we don't get that messy, slushy, rainy, icy stuff that the Midwest and the Northeast get.
Yeah.
So it's a great place for renewal and for connecting. And you've done quite a journey. You document what jolted you into making change and experiencing transformation in your life. And now I do want to give a little background about you for our listeners.
Sure.
Now you are the you have a company called Pure Love. What is it called? Pure
Lifestyle.
Love.
Yeah, yeah.
Lifestyle.
Pure Love Lifestyle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're coaching women, and I think what attracted me to you and originally was that you plan a lot of retreats, and you're just helping other women, guiding through that process, whether it's through the change of life, you know, prompted through menopause, or just a change in a career or a change in personal relationship status, probably after divorce or something. But women go through all kinds of changes in their life. And I want to talk first about your journey because, you know, first of all, I commend you for being so honest and open and vulnerable and talking about experiencing panic attacks because a lot of go-getters like ourselves, we don't really share our challenges that have kind of jolted us into higher consciousness and seeking out change. And recently I was reading, you know, something about, you know, the charcoal that goes through that intense fire and pressure comes out as a diamond. And, you know, always it seems around the turn of the year, the beginning of a new year, especially after a busy, hectic holiday season, you know, a lot of people are thinking about what can I change in my life? Where am I happy? What's not working? What needs to work better? But tell us a little bit about your story and what jolted you. I love this line. This is one of my favorite lines in that chapter. It's like the tectonic plates in our life have moved under us. We experience an undercurrent of restlessness, et cetera. So tell us about what was going on for you.
Yeah, you know, this journey really began for me, right? Well, I shouldn't say that. This journey began from the moment I was born, but the consciousness and the real sort of shift really happened for me when I was about to turn 40. So I'm turning 50 in a week, 11
Happy
days.
Birthday.
Thank you. I don't know what the day is, but on the 19th. So it's been about a decade, and so what happened for me was I was this person that I say that I had the 3P disease. I was a people-pleasing perfectionist. And so that meant on the outside that I looked very accomplished and looked like a person who, you know, had it all in a way, an American dream, so to speak. I had a really great job. I'm a nurse by background, so I have a healthcare background. I worked for a healthcare consulting company. I made quite a bit of money. I had a nice title. I had a corner office with windows, you know, the whole deal. I had two kids, two Labradors, a yard with a fence, you know, like the whole dream, so to speak. And the reality behind that was, like, I was inside just a constant wreck. I was constantly feeling like I wasn't enough, even though on the outside everybody told, oh, my gosh, you're so good at this, you do this so well. Like, I got all that. But on the inside, I didn't feel like I knew what the hell I was doing about anything. And every day was just, like, this, I relate it to like just balls up in the air and you're just hoping that they don't all just crash right on your head. And it was not even about me. Like my whole life was about everything else and everyone else, whether that be making sure I made a good impression on a client or my boss or that my kids were well-behaved and, you know, smart and doing all the stuff that we want for our children as moms and dads. And that they had everything they needed and that, you know, that people around me were happy, that my employees and my staff, you know, were getting what they needed. And so I found my life was just this constant fixing, maneuvering, putting on different masks and trying to make everything okay when it didn't feel inside. And it was as simple as I would not tell someone that I didn't like something if I thought it would hurt their feelings. Like, hey, where do you want to go for lunch? And in my mind, I'm thinking, I would be like, oh, it doesn't matter. Where do you, because I was never even though I was this confident, successful woman, I just didn't want to hurt anybody's feeling. I wanted everybody to be happy. I wanted no conflict, all of that stuff. So that's the way I'm living it. And there are moments of joy and happiness. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't like I, you know, but I didn't even realize it. That the reality was I wasn't really even enjoying the most amazing, wonderful things in my life, like something you planned. Say you planned a special party or you planned a vacation with your family, and I was the one that wasn't enjoying myself because I was worried about making sure everything was going the way it was supposed to. So, you know, if we went to Disney World or we took our kids 1 year to Disney World, and it was really fun. But I was in my mind going, we got to hurry up because we got to be over at this castle at this time because we planned breakfast. You know, I'm like, that was the whole vacation for me. And instead of just being in the moment and like loving my kids' face when they saw, you know, Mickey Mouse or whatever, I like missed that part because I was trying to make this like the best vacation ever. Or whatever. I'm just using that as an example. But that was the way all of it was. And so you kind of realize you're going through this whole life just trying to do all these things and just keep moving to the next thing. My attention was always on what's next, what I got to do next, instead of enjoying anything. And it sort of wasn't a conscious thing that this happened. It was literally, which often happens and which I've come to find out with my clients, with other people that I come in contact and the research I've done on this over the last 10 years, is that often a change, something, we have a catalyst that often isn't very pleasant. And that's what happened for me. I was going on this vacation with my sisters, is my oldest sister's 50th birthday celebration. And so us four girls were going to Ireland for a week. And on that airplane, I'd fallen asleep and I woke up with chest pain, and I was sweating, and I was sick to my stomach, and my heart was pounding out of my chest, and I got really scared. As a nurse, I'm thinking, oh my God, like, this is, what is this? I'm thinking I'm having a heart attack or something's happening. So I wake my sister up. She gets the stewardess, and of course, they're like, do you have a heart condition? And I start panting, like, in my mind, I'm going, I don't think so, but maybe I do. And so anyway, this flight ended up. I ended up on the back in the airplane where the stewardesses sit, and they had put some oxygen on me. And of course, it was a European flight, so they gave me some tea, which was pretty awesome. It actually really helped. And so, long story short, I made it through the flight. I didn't have a heart attack. I didn't die, even though in that moment I was convinced I was going to. And we made it through the trip. I was fine. Well, then I got home. And the night I got home, it happened again as I was falling asleep. And so this time, off to the emergency room I go, and convinced that I have some sort of a heart palpitation or a heart arrhythmia or something. And lo and behold, the doctor tells me that I was having panic attacks. And I'm just befuddled by this because I'm thinking I was on vacation. I wasn't worrying. I was sleeping. What could I be worrying about while I'm sleeping, right? So anyway, I've come to find out that that's actually very common. And so this began panic attacks for me. And what happened after that is it just became about 2 years of me trying to find my way out of these panic attacks, because now they were just coming like wildfire. I would have 10 to 12 of these a day. I'm trying to function. I'm doing everything I can to not become an agoraphobic who doesn't want to leave my bed because I'm afraid that it's going to happen. Everywhere I would have one, I didn't want to go back to that place because I thought, what if it happens again? And I'm, you know, how do I manage this? And so I spent a couple years doing some different things, and they got better. I found a therapist that I worked with for a few sessions, and she gave me a book that saved my life, I swear. And it started me on the path because it taught
about
reading.
And what was the book?
The book is called Don't Panic. And then there's a little bit of a subtitle that I don't remember. But the author is Dr. Reed, and it's R-E-I-D, I believe, Wilson. And I remember reading this book. I remember distinctly sitting in my bed trying to go to sleep and reading this, and tears just began to flow down my face because I felt like for the first time in my life, this person who wrote this book was in my head, and how I lived my whole life from a tiny, tiny little girl, and now it made sense. And I also realized I didn't have to operate like this. You know, I didn't have to always be on edge or on show or on trying to make it all better. And so he taught some basic things in there, and it was the breathing that I started doing that started changing everything for me, the breath work, and which led me back to yoga. I had kind of stopped going to yoga, and I had always used yoga as more of just a complete fitness thing. And over this, with the breathing and things, I ended up finding yoga and really taking it to a different meaning, not just but really the whole just being with my spirit and my body. And so that started this journey, but it wasn't on purpose. It really literally was me just trying to be able to get through a meeting without having a panic attack. That was like my goal. It wasn't even about, hey, I want to be spiritual, or I want to, you know, be something other than I want to be able to keep doing what I'm doing without feeling like I'm having a heart attack, you know, all the time. But the beauty of it is and at the time in his book, I have to say this, because in his book he made a statement that often people come back to him later and tell him how panic attacks were like the best thing that ever happened to him. And I have to tell you that when I read that book, it made me so mad. I was mad. I was like, that is just bullshit, because this is the most miserable thing I've ever been through. I'm so out of control. This can never, will never, ever be a good thing. And luckily, I must like grow, because I now know and came to realize within about a year or two that he was absolutely right, that panic was the best thing that ever happened for me, because it was my spirit, I believe, my spirit's way of getting my attention to shake things up a little bit and say, this is not how you came here to live. This isn't what you're not here to be doing a job that, while I was really good at it, I really didn't like it. I wasn't inspired by it. It was, you know, kind of painful every day. And so, yeah, that's sort of the beginning of my story. And then one thing just led to another, you know. A book, somebody would say a book, and I'd read that book, and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'd get another piece of insight, and then this, and then that. And before you know it, I'm on this journey of studying with teachers around holistic healthcare and practices around mind-body-spirit connection, and then it led into work around passion and really listening to your heart, which is one of the core things I still do with my clients. And then it gradually led to some of the more deeper consciousness work that I'm doing personally now, and that filters into my work. So,
well,
I think that's just an amazing story.
And I think so many of us women who are high achievers can identify, you know, the people-pleasing perfectionism. I mean, there's so many things that hit me very personally, you know, when reading and hearing you speak about keeping all the balls up in the air, and if one drops, the whole thing, domino effects. I mean, I just experienced a flood in my basement. You know, Missouri and the Midwest got hit bad with a lot of rain, the most rain in recorded history. The day after Christmas, I mean, my goodness, we couldn't even, like, just chill out for one weekend. And, you know, that flood set off a chain reaction in my personal life. And so I think it is no coincidence that, you know, I'm interviewing you today, and I'm sure the people that are going to be hearing this interview also, it is divine intervention. Things show up in our life at the perfect right time. And just like you came into my store, Butterfly and Moon, over in St. Charles, to talk to me about, you know, first to get more acquainted, second to talk about curing your book, which we definitely want to do. And again, another shout out for the book is called Menopause Mavens, Master the Mystery of Menopause. And the cover is so beautiful. I mean, it just gives me goosebumps.
Yeah.
It has
That's
butterflies all
Jane,
over
actually.
It. And it has a figure of a woman wearing her butterfly wings. And as we know, out of the chrysalis and the struggle to push out of that chrysalis, that cocoon, that safety of the cocoon, the butterfly emerges and the beautiful colors.
And the thing about that, too, is that one of the things I want to add about that in terms of the butterfly. Well, first about the book, it's a compilation book, so I'm not the only person writing. I wrote a chapter. And what I love about that is the fact that you get perspectives and experiences around menopause and whether it be, you know, just getting into perimenopause, or some of the women are, you know, in their 60s and 70s, and some like me, you know, kind of right in the middle of it. So I love that. So there's different perspectives and different takes on it, which I think, you know, is very helpful, because we all have a slightly different experience. But what I love about the and maybe you and I talked about this, Brenda, I can't remember, in the office, but or in your shop, but the thing about the butterfly and the cocoon is that this is what's so challenging sometimes, because if you help, if you see a caterpillar trying to, like the butterfly trying to come out of the cocoon, and you help it along, it won't make it. It's
no.
The struggle, it's the pushing, it's all that is happening to do that is what allows that butterfly to fully come into being. And I think that is so important, because what all this is coming, and what I'm learning so much through this work, through my own journey, through all of this, is that we are so enough. We are more than enough, because we are divine spirit. And the journey really is about remembering that. And so when you played that song, I wrote something down as I was listening to Sarah sing. Heard that song countless times, you know, be brave. It's I want you to be brave. And what I wrote is, what brave is a word that we use, but what really being brave, being courageous, being any of those words that we use, what it really comes down to is being whole. Being our full, authentic self, without apology, without self-doubt, without looking over our shoulder to see if somebody's like not liking what we're doing or judging us. Or it's really being like the butterfly on that. When you look at the cover of that book, and you can go to my website, and there's an image of it. It is, you know, she is like, she's like owning it, right? And so I think that through this whole thing, in the initial stages of the panic, I was trying so hard to find all this outside stuff to help me. You know, I chose personally not to take any pills or drugs. I just knew, and I can't tell you why, because it wasn't like I'd been through this before. I just knew that wasn't the answer for me. I can't tell you why I knew that. I was just repulsed by, I have the prescription. I could not literally put the pills in my mouth.
Oh, thank God.
I can't explain it, you know, because I'm a nurse.
Well,
I'm like, that's, I know these things, but my body would not let me put them in my mouth.
Well, I want to commend
you
for that.
And so the outside wasn't the answer, you know. And that's what I want people to get, is that you have it. It's there because you are perfect. And it's getting still and quiet. And that's what the breath worked. That's why the breath worked. Because what it made me do was stop. It made me get still. It made me get to know myself and to trust this inner energy, this inner force that is just begging to be heard. And so it shows up, and it's going to show up in little ways. If I look back, I had little things that were, and I just ignored them because they weren't painful enough, right? I could just kind of push them to the side. So the universe, my spirit was like, okay, girl, that's fine. We're just going to keep giving you something until you finally stop and you slow down and you go inward and you get in touch and whatever that's going to take. And so I think for people it shows up different ways. For me, it was panic. Some people it might be a cancer diagnosis. Some people it might be a broken leg where they physically, literally cannot go do so much. Somebody
that
might
would be
divorced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
it
was
could
me.
Be any of these things.
Yeah.
And so while we're in them, believe me, those first several years, I was not buying that argument that this is a good thing. But I know now with every fiber of my being that it was the gift that I needed to stop the madness, literally, and start slowing down and really doing things, not even doing different, being more whole and not being so outward focused. And so that's what a lot of my work is around, is helping women to find some way to tap into that amazing essence and spirit that they are, and how to start letting her be at the table and become the leader and the guide, as opposed to our mind and all of the stories that we've created. Because that's what I would do. I would create these scenarios in my head of why nothing was, and just constant worry. The what ifs were just constantly in my head. And so I could never enjoy anything, because if I sat back to enjoy, I would all of a sudden start thinking, but what if this happens? And I would just be sitting there doing all that and missing the moment. I missed all the moments because I was so worried about the future, or, you know, renegotiating, rehashing the past and feeling guilty, or feeling like, oh, I should have done that, or did I do that well enough? Or, and I've learned that, you know, that's just such a painful existence. And the more we can just be in the now is such a key.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so many things to address with the points you just made. And, yeah, for me it was definitely surviving a car crash in 1996 that I had a broken leg, broken ribs, and my mother was killed in that car crash. And that was the jolt I needed to literally stop in my tracks and, you know, be forced to sit at home for 2 months to recuperate and learn how to walk again. But that's when, you know, I had time to watch Oprah. I had time to explore books by Andrew Weil that were on mind, body, spirit.
He's one of my...
And then moving to Colorado in 1998, I eventually found a group of people through the Science of Mind community at the Mile High Church over there on Alameda. And, I mean, it was radical for me at that point to hear that philosophy about the inner, you mentioned the inner force at hand, but, you know, the inner God, the inner energy connecting to that inner voice, not drowning out that GPS, that internal GPS we have, that God purpose system, really, that is always with you. And, I mean, I felt it when I went to Africa. I mean, I was in isolation in this little crappy, you know, volunteer apartment with four cement walls. It was like being in jail, putting myself in jail for 2 weeks, you know. No phone, no internet, you know. But it did, because I had no outward anything, I had to go within. I had to trust that inner guidance system and do my prayer work, focus on my breath. I mean, talk about challenging. And so whether it's an external force, like being in a car crash or getting an illness, the things you mentioned that will jolt you into consciousness or waking up. So important to listen to your body, as you talk about in your chapter, and use that as motivation to go within, because so many women do take that pill. So many women are following the advice of their doctors and are, you know, we live in a country where there's an overprescription epidemic of women who are catatonic because of these pharmaceuticals that they are advised to take. And so it just kills their soul because they're too sleepy or too lethargic to, you know, respond to those divine guidance. I know other authors have called it divine discontent that forces you to change and wake up. But here's my question. You mentioned in your chapter continuing with fierce self-care. So when you change, and when anyone changes in a family unit or at a work situation, when some person is starting to change, that's going to have ripple effects outward, you know, into the family or into the work situation. So how did your spouse and your family adjust and allow you to have that space to grow without trying to force you back into your old role?
So that is so great, and I'm going to say a few things about this because this is so, so important. So you are absolutely right. There is a total ripple effect, and I even use that word a lot, let the ripple begin, because it's important that the ripple starts. But we have this mindset and this story in our head that ripple is negative, that it's not going to work, that it's going to be bad, right? So, oh, I can't do this because whatever. I can't get to the gym or I can't go to yoga because my husband this, my kids this, So that's what we tell ourselves. And I can just tell you, I'm not saying I didn't do that, but I had gotten to such a point that, excuse me, but I really didn't give a shit anymore. And it wasn't from a place of I don't love them. It was a place of survival. Like, I get it, and this can't happen anymore. Like, I knew innately I could not, I just couldn't do it anymore because I just couldn't. And so I kind of got a little bit of that, yeah, well, this is what's happening. Kind of like, you know, how as a mom sometimes, like, this is what's for dinner, you're eating it, you know, kind of.
Yeah.
Sort of
yeah.
that attitude of this is what's happening. So my kids were getting older at this point when this all started happening. So they were, I can't remember if Brandon was in high school or almost. But anyway, so they were both probably at least in high school. And Megan was actually getting ready to go to college soon when this kind of all began, the panic attacks and all that stuff. But so what I did is I went to like a Hobby Lobby or whatever store, and they have this little door hanger thing that you can write on with a dry erase board marker.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote on it, "Mom is meditating. Don't come in." And I put that
hilarious.
On my door. And I tell you, the first few times, inevitably, one of them, my husband, one of the kids, would open the door. I didn't, and I'm like, no, like, I would not deal with it. I, like, shut the door. And I didn't do it for, like, 4 hours, you know, but you start with baby steps. It was, like, 15 minutes. Like, I'm carving out 15 minutes. These are, you know, human beings now that I am not providing any life care. You know, they're all able to do things on their own for 15 minutes, right? This isn't an infant that I have to be right there. So I did, and that's how it kind of started. And I have to be honest that there's been a few times in this when I was doing things and making some changes that you kind of start to do a little bit of the preachy, like, hey, y'all need to be doing this. This is what we all should be doing. And that doesn't work. And so what I did learn is I just had to do it for myself, like, and that has to be the reason. That has to be enough of a reason, and it's the only reason. Like, I honored and loved myself enough to say, "This is what I'm doing. I'm giving myself time to meditate. I'm working with my husband and or the schedule to find out what yoga classes I am going to. Not can I maybe sort of kind of fit it in. It's like this. What's this week look like? Okay, this is the day. Then I'm going to yoga at this time. I'm going to go to the gym and walk the track at this time, or I'm going to go take a walk with my neighbor, Hannah-Lore, on this night, or whatever. So I just have to start getting firm about it and picking a few things and being fierce about it, like protective, just like you are with them. Because, if you know, as moms, as even if you're not a mom, if you're anybody that has anyone else in your life that you care about, you always want the best for them. And so you have to kind of be your best friend. What would your best friend say? She would say, "Girl, you got to take care of yourself." And so you have to do that. And what we, this ripple effect, again, we kind of start out with, "Oh my God, this is so, it's going to be so hard. They're all going to," and at first it is a little challenging because they have you programmed and everybody's programmed to like work in a certain way. And when that kind of gets changed, it's a little disruptive. And we can empower them to handle it, right, by just being like, "I know this is a change, and this is really important, and here's why I'm doing this." And that's what I did. And what happened is that because I started doing this and was really honoring myself, I equate this with like a gas tank, and I call it living self. People say, "Oh, it's so selfish." I'm like, no, get some selfish on. Be selfish. And use the word self-full if that makes you feel better.
I think you should put
better.
That on a T-shirt. Get some selfish
yeah,
on.
Yeah, you have to be, yeah, get your selfish on, because this is the whole thing. You have to be filled up. Otherwise, if you're going around life and you're giving all the people you love and the things that are important to you, whether it's your job, a charity, your community, your church, your family, whatever, you're giving them fumes. You're living on fumes. And what do we know about fumes? Like, if you're giving, you know, you're filling your car up at the gas tank and the fumes, they make you sick. They're toxic. That's what we're doing. In the name of being a good mother, in the name of doing all this stuff, we're actually kind of doing the opposite, because we're showing people that we don't matter and that there's a one-way street here. And we don't really want that for our daughters. We don't really want that for our sons. We don't really want that. We want them to feel nourished and happy in their life. So we have to start with us. And so we fill ourselves up. And we fill ourselves up so much that we're giving the overflow. I have one friend that calls it, you have to give from your saucer. So if there's nothing spilled mm-hmm. over into the saucer of your teacup, then you need to get more tea. right?
Yeah,
and then
you know,
you have enough tea that it's going over, then people can have what's left. And then it feels good for everyone. Because otherwise you're coming at this drained, resentful, pissed off, tired, exhausted self. And it looks like, would you just pick up your GD socks right now? Or where in the hell is your homework? What's it? You know, that's the way it was at my house. I was exhausted from a 10-hour day. I came home, and then the only thing I saw when I came home was that homework wasn't done, that, you know, there was a mess in the kitchen, that, you know, whatever it was. What kind of – I didn't want that anymore for my kids to remember that the time when I was at home, I was harping on them about – picking up their room, about da-da-da-da-da. And so I had to learn that I had to fill myself up. I'm not saying I still didn't want them to do their homework and do it, but my attitude, the way I came at it, came from a different place when I was feeling full, when I felt nourished, both physically with good food and just within myself. Is a different way. Like, I didn't need to, I wasn't angry, I wasn't upset, I wasn't feeling put on anymore, because I was truly giving from a place of abundance instead of from a place of just dragging my rear trying to just get things done. And so that's why I had to just put my stake in the ground on a few things. And I tell you that over time, everything in our life shifted. My relationship, I've been with my husband for 34 years. We've been married 32 years. I met him when I was 16, got married when I was 18. We've been together a long time. And we've always had a good marriage, but things really got deeper and better because I came to my marriage from a new place. I was filled up. I wasn't expecting him to complete me. Everything wasn't pointed to him like, why aren't you doing that? I wish you would do that. It was me giving it to myself first. And then I was able to receive it from him in a different way. And our relationship just got so much better. My relationship with my kids got better because I didn't feel like I was just on them all the time, because I was more relaxed. I was realizing what was really important. And we made some changes. Like, I just started shutting their bedroom doors. I'm like, I don't care if your room's clean. If you want to live in there and have that, then do it. You know, like, I really don't care. I love you, and I don't care that your room's a mess, so I'm just shutting your door. And I did. I shut the door, and I just let it go because I'd been spending years fighting on my only 2 days off a week. We're fighting with my kids about laundry and running errands and trying to pick up the house, and that's not what I wanted. So I let go, started realizing my house didn't have to be lickety-split clean. I always tell the analogy that women give more care and attention to their toilet than they do to themselves, because we care more about what somebody's going to think if there's something on the toilet than whether or not we have had anything even to eat that day. So I literally started just backing off, and it's like, you know what, you know, I'll get to it when I get to it, but it's not going to be my priority, because my priority is I've only got a few more years with these kids, and I don't want to be spending it, you know, on my knees in the bathroom, scrubbing the bathroom or yelling at them. And so it really did have a ripple effect because it came from inside me. And so life at home changed some, and I was different. I relaxed. I was able to just be a little bit without directing and controlling everybody and everything in my life to try to keep everything, all those balls in the air, because that's what happens. Keep those balls in the air, you got to be control. And so we become control freaks, which makes everyone miserable, and we don't even know it. It's not on purpose. You know, let's give ourselves a break. I didn't step into motherhood thinking that was who I was going to be. It's just what happened because I was letting everything from the outside be what ruled and what guided me instead of coming from the inside. So, yeah, it, you know, and in the end, you know, my husband started eating healthier, and now we both laugh about how different we are with food and stuff now because we feel so much better. And when we first started out, he'd look at some of the stuff. When I first pulled out kale and chard and things and I'm cooking this there, he's looking at me like, you've got to be kidding, girl. I'm not eating that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, fine, and don't. You can eat corn. I don't care. You know, it's just as easy to heat up some corn and saute some greens at the same time. But gradually, he just started doing it, and now we eat really well, and And he sees me flourish. And so he is so supportive of me doing the things that I like to do and that really I go to yoga all the time. And he's the one now that will tell me, like, hon, when did you go to yoga last? Like, I think you need to make sure you're going to yoga tonight because I know you feel better. Go to yoga.
Right.
And he's like, go to Denver, go to that workshop, because he knows when I come back, like I am more fully a loving presence that makes our whole life better. So
yeah.
It does have a ripple effect. And it's not overnight. So don't get me wrong there. It's all a journey and it's a process. But it really, that ripple effect can be what we want it to be. And if we decide this is going to be a positive thing, it will be.
Well, that is just so awesome and such a perfect topic for beginning the new year. Now,
yes.
I hear different life coaches and spiritual leaders talking about, you know, having goals and having a vision versus setting resolutions, because resolutions often evaporate after about 3 weeks. You know, we all are going to lose weight, work out every day and have the perfect house and all these different things,
mm-hmm.
Write the great American novel. So what do you say about that, resolutions versus goals and vision setting?
Right. So this is where I'm at right now. So this is what I'm doing for myself. I had to take a couple months off because even though I love what I do, I was starting to get in a place of shoulds again and feeling that, like, oh, I have to do this in my business or I have to do this. And it was just, like, getting difficult. So I kind of, not on purpose, I didn't say I'm going to take this time. I just couldn't do it anymore. Like, I couldn't take those pills. I just couldn't do things. So I kind of stepped back. And one of the things that came out for me was, and it came from actually one of the meetings I went to with Dr. Sue about, there's a difference between I should and doing all of this versus something that's coming from real love and that presence and that feeling of devotion. So that's my word for 2016 is devotion. And so can I be devoted to myself? Because when you think about that word, it's about there's reverence there, there's love there, there's respect. It feels good. And that's what I would say to you. I don't care really what you call it, if you call it a vision. I don't really love the whole, like you said, I'm going to go to the gym 4 times. It's not, can be an action step. So I really prefer that people sit down and say, what is it that I really want to feel and experience in my life? What do I want more of? Sometimes we have to know what we don't want to know what we want. So maybe what I don't want is, I don't want to feel so rushed all the time, or I don't want to feel like tired and lethargic and without energy. And then let's turn it to what do I want? So if you keep focusing on what you want, as opposed to making a list of tasks that you want to do that make you feel ugh. You know, like the idea for me to go to a gym and be on a treadmill for 30 minutes is awful. I just won't do it. So if I want to not be lethargic and I want to have more energy and I want to feel that energy, let's find out what I want that. That's what I want. So now how are some ways I can get that feel good, right? This is not about, you know, being miserable. So the things I like to do, or I like to dance. So maybe I just get in the habit of turning on some great music, whatever it might be, for 5 to 10 minutes a day and just dance around my living room or whatever. So maybe that's it. Maybe it's going to a Zumba class. I love that. I love dancing. I love music. I love dancing. So that is more like fun for me, and I come out of it feeling really great versus a treadmill where I'm just like nose to the grindstone. Now, if you love mm-hmm. the treadmill and you get so excited about it, hey, go for that. So find those things, and whether it be around health and wellness, see if you can come from a place of what I want and doing things that feel good because you're going to do them if they bring you pleasure, as opposed to the stick that's like beating you down. I'm just not in favor of the stick. I'm in favor of how can I love? And let me just say this about it. For some of us who've been doing and doing and doing and pushing and pushing and striving and living this hard-pressed life, and what really might need to happen is less. It might need to be that you just need to give yourself a break and let yourself just be. And maybe that's what needs to happen, and allow yourself with love to do less. to say no to something, to just a second. I'm sorry, I'm on a call. Can you please come back? Thank you. Sorry, I'm in the hotel room and they're trying to clean the room. So I'm just really a fan of shifting it to how can I honor myself? How can I feel really wonderful? And sometimes you're going to know what that is, and sometimes it's a day-to-day thing, like what feels really good today? What can I really do today that helps me to feel the way I set out that I wanted to feel? And it might be taking a long walk. It might be taking a nap. It might be taking a hot bath. It might be going and running and just getting some big physical activity out. It might be anything like that. And I think if we come up from that respect, it's going to feel good, which is what we want. I don't, and that doesn't say that there aren't times when we have to push ourselves and challenge ourselves physically or maybe with a big goal. Maybe there is a big project that we're wanting to accomplish, and it's going to take a little rolling up our sleeves and sort of getting in there. And that's also it. But it's, can I do it from a place of love, and can I do it from that place of devotion of I'm devoted to my happiness, I'm devoted to my health, I'm devoted to, you know, being the best human being I can be on this earth. So how do I do that today? How do I do that in this next moment? How do I do that in the next conversation that I have? How do I do that when I interact with the person at the grocery store? How do I do that when I interact with the person that just pulled out in front of me in traffic? Can I be the best human I can be in that moment? And what does that look like? Maybe it looks like sending him a little bit of love instead of the finger, you know, that kind of thing. And that's how I think we set up this resolution or this vision to start living and creating the life that we really want. It's by being conscious. It's by asking the question, what do I want? And how do I do this? Because, you know, a lot of people say, that's great, but you're talking a lot about you or me being me, you know, about me or whatever. And that's, I would say, you know what? You're supposed to be selfish and focused on yourself, not in a narcissistic way that is at the detriment of others, but nobody else is you. So you take care of you, and then this ripple effect happens. And so when you're filled up and you're taking care of yourself, it's just a different way of being, and your energy shifts and everything becomes a little bit more pleasant. And so it's not selfish in that term of, hey, I'm just like getting my elbows out and I'm bumping you all out of my way. It's not like that. But it's really kind of this inward out, like I'm really going to tune into myself. And if I'm really trying to be my best self, that is only going to be good for everybody I interact with, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, it makes perfect sense. And we're almost out of time. Oh, my goodness.
I know.
It goes so fast. I could listen to you for hours. And
I could talk for hours if you can't tell.
That's good. You have a lot of wisdom to share. But we do want to give you a chance to plug whatever is coming up for 2016 where people can see you experiencing your mastery and the lessons that you've struggled to learn that you're joyously passing on to others. Where can they find you?
Awesome. So the best place to keep up with me is to go to my website, which is maryshackleford.com. And so you can join my email list. I'd love, love to have you. So I send out some newsletters and, you know, new things that are coming out. Of course, Facebook. And I think it's still under Mary Shackleford Wellness Solutions. Facebook's kind of funny. It's hard to change the real thing, even though the look and all is different. But you can go get to my Facebook page through my website, too. So a couple things that are upcoming. So it's the beginning of the year, and I kind of took a little break there. So my support person is actually getting some things, the website, up to date. But I do have a women's retreat coming up in April. It's, I don't have my calendar for you. I think it's the 22nd through the 24th. It's the Friday evening through Sunday, and it's going to be outside of St. Louis. At a really lovely retreat center along one of the little rivers. And it's going to be just really, I can't really put words to it. I'm so excited about it because it's going to be nourishing. It's going to be relaxing and hopefully opening and awakening and cultivating some connection and sisterhood. We're going to have a bonfire. There's going to be a singing bowl, some singing bowl meditation work, hopefully a drum circle and just a bunch of fun things like that, healthy, beautiful food. So that's in April, that registration will be active by next week. So we're finalizing the website details. So just either keep checking up my website or just get on my email list and you will know about that. So that's one of the big things. I'm also going to do my Passion Starter Series again, which the dates, I'm finalizing that right now, but it'll be probably late February and March, a four-week virtual kind of online little class that we do. We get on the phone together, and it's just about, it's a passion starter. It's like, how do you start igniting that fire, that passion in your heart and figuring out what you want more of, and how do you do that? And we kind of cover, you know, your physical body and other, each week we kind of take a little different theme. And so that's a really fun, lovely class. I'll do cleanses this year. I always do one in the spring and the fall. So that's taking all of this, but really honoring your body and doing that. And there are a few other fun things coming down the pike, but I think that gives people, and I also do, usually each month I do a virtual sisterhood circle call where we just get on the phone and I have a theme or something that we just sort of talk about, and those are always free. And so to find out about those, just join my list or check out my page. They'll be on there as well. So
virtual sisterhood
excited.
Call. That sounds awesome. And yeah. So, and they can find you on Facebook and Twitter. And what's your Twitter address?
I think I'm just Mary Shackelford.
And LinkedIn and all the different. So all those links are
LinkedIn.
Off your website.
They're all on my website. You can, you know, find them at the bottom of the page or on the side. I think they're actually on the side. There's some buttons that you can then link into all those. And you can also, there's a contact page. If you just have a question for me or just want to get some more information or whatever, just, you know, go there and you can send me a contact and we can start a conversation. And, of course, on my website list some of my services and coaching and things if that's something you're interested in, or speaking and workshops that I do. But I'm always happy to talk to people directly and answer any questions and, you know, see what if there's any way that I can support you. And, you know, just that place of it's hard to categorize because, you know, I put health and wellness and all those things in it because it's a whole person. We're a whole people. We're not one thing. And so I don't limit it to just one area. We really focus when I work with people and in my talks and in my workshops, we try to touch on all those things because that's what makes us a whole person. So,
well, fantastic. And I'm sure we'll be carrying your books at Butterfly and Moon at 814 South Main Street, Historic St. Charles. We want to make sure people either check us out in person by visiting, and we're open Tuesday through Sunday, only closed on Mondays, or online, butterflymoon.com, or on Facebook, facebook.com/butterflymoon, because Mary represents the type of women we like to carry in our store, women that are empowering others, women that have that promote positivity and passion in the world. So we have just a very few select authors. Kathy Tristan, who wrote Why Worry, also talked about overcoming panic attacks and has a wonderful little book. And Jill Farmer has a book about, you know, that mantra sometimes we say to ourselves about not having enough time. And she had a big shift in her life. And all the women authors we carry basically have had some kind of shift and have written about it. And so we have a lot of different types of books. And then, of course, once you make that shift and you want to be that beautiful butterfly inside and outside, we do have clothing with butterflies on them and jewelry to light yourself up. And so just like buying flowers, just like flowers, a lot of women say, gee, I wish I'd get flowers at Valentine's, my birthday, special occasions. You know, and I say, go buy yourself flowers.
Get
go
them
buy
yourself.
Some...
I do that every week. Every week.
Oh, my gosh. Bright yellow in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. Nothing like having bright colored flowers in your house during winter. You don't have to wait for someone to buy you flowers.
No.
And you don't have to wait for someone
else
to buy you jewelry.
Or to make you feel beautiful and to make you happy, right? It's all of that. Let's do it for ourselves, you know, and then the ripple begins, and it's a beautiful thing. And I want to just put a plug in for you. First of all, I want to thank you for doing this show and for being you. You have just such a vibrant energy. I was just drawn to you, and I'm just very excited about all the things you're doing. And I love your store. So if anybody's in that area, you have to go. I have bought some really cool things there that I really love, some clothes and some other things. So it's a great story. You've done a wonderful job of having such a nice mix of things that make women feel, other people, but mostly women, feel really good. And so beautiful art, all kinds of stuff.
Well, thank you for that, Mary. And you know, thanks to Zonta and groups like that that empower women
yeah.
all over the world, because, you know, who knows, if it wasn't for Zonta, we, our paths may not have crossed.
May not have crossed, and exactly.
And I do want to plug Zonta, Zonta.org. Their next international convention will be in Nice, France, the first week of July. I'm thrilled beyond words that I'm going to be going back to France. It's only my second time
Yay.
Going. I went for my 40th birthday, and I didn't go anywhere special for my 50th. So I just turned 55, so I feel like this trip is my big trip for my 50th and my 50th and what have you. But Zonta, if you can find a local club in your city or state, wherever you live, or you can be part of the e-club that I'm now president of. We have a virtual club. We meet online once a month. And I would love, Mary, for you to consider being a speaker for one of our upcoming meetings, either
that.
February or March, being Women History Month, you know, and we connect with women around the country through our virtual club. So it's fantastic, and it's a new way to stay involved without having to go to club meetings and get involved in the minutia of sometimes, you know, running a club. It involves a lot of administrative stuff that can bog you down. And then I also want to mention, just based on the theme of what we've been talking about today, if you go to thrivewithoils.eventbrite.com, you will see a write-up. The big graphic on that page says Build Your Dream, and it's all about using essential oils to help you get centered, get clarity, to have transformation. One of the oils is called Valor. I love that word. It's another word for courage. There's another one called Vision, one called Abundance, Inspiration, Joy. All these things we want to attract and bring into our life. And using oils is really, like you said, getting more in touch with yourself, what feels good, what boosts your immune system, using affirmations, and how to jumpstart your year with, you know, self-care, self-love. So that's going to be on Friday, January 29th. It's a free class. It's going to be from 6 to 8 p.m. at Butterfly Moon at 814 South Main Street. It's limited attendance because the shop is only so big. So we can only have 16 people, and we would love for people to sign up for that and come and learn a little bit more. Mary, if you're in town, please join us. You can certainly talk about your retreat, because the women that will be coming
sure.
to this are the women that want to come to your types of events. And I love connecting the
right.
dots. And that's what our store is about. It's about building a community where women can empower and encourage each other and explore their own inner artists. I mean, we're going to be setting up a section called Your Inner Artist. And adult coloring books are really big right now. That's something I never gave myself permission to do. I thought sitting and coloring or sitting and making a puzzle was a waste of time because I was so career-focused and outward-focused. But, you know, give yourself permission to play and to do something artistic and to find out what your artistic talent is. Everyone has some inner artist. So thank you, Mary, so much.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your conference.
I look
forward to hearing how it all turns out for you.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
All right. Well, awesome. Well, Alive to Thrive will be back next Friday at noon Central, and this program has been recorded, so please share the link with your friends through social media and other means. So thanks, Mary. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I was blinded by you, but now my vision is clear. In a moment of truth, all I need is right here. I do not worry about my looks or career.